Yeah. Check it out. See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head.
Yeah, boy, it's July 4th, and it's episode 222, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast is the official podcast of the fantasyfootballauction.com, the first website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. We got a great show for you tonight. Tonight's the first episode of the 2023 season, and we're going to talk just a little bit about last year, and then we're going to get things cracking on what's happening in 2023 so far this year. But, of course, our analysts, they're always here. Well, they're not always here. Slim's not here. I think he's camping, but he's off the links, and he's back into the podcast studio. Blister, how'd the golf game go tonight?
We got two words for you.
Well, actually, Bucks, it was, in case this is a family show, I won't say all the words that I was probably using on the golf. It was horrendous. Just horrendous. I guess the last time out, I had a pretty good round. I shot 77, thought maybe I got things figured out. And then tonight I exploded for a 94. And, yeah, it was terrible, but I didn't throw any clubs. I did want to quit probably almost every hole, actually, but I just kept thinking, well, maybe it'll get better. And it never got better. It was a struggle out there, especially all the guys with me. I think we were shooting in the 70s and making it look so easy. So they probably thought, why do we bring this loser?
So you felt like this, Shane.
Yeah, it was a rough goal, man. Yeah, it was awful. And, you know, when I did hit a good shot, which was like, there's so few and far between, they didn't feel any different than the bad shots. But they were bad. It was, I don't know why that game is so stupid sometimes. Oh, well, it's over. And I was, while I was out there and struggling and mad and sad at the same time, I was phoning the other golf course and book a tee time for Thursday. So bounce back Thursday, we're going to call it.
Bounce back Thursday. There you go. And Blister, before we cock the hammer, like I was saying pre-show, I think if I did the math right, this is the start of season 10.
Yeah, I know. That's what you're saying. I could swear we've been doing it longer than that. But
maybe it just feels like longer when you have to talk to me every week.
No, I feel, I don't know. But, it's good that we still are. I mean, we've obviously cut back a lot of pods that we used to do in the past. We used to be really rambunctious and try to go for a full season. And now we've cut it back into the draft season. And now we used to try to start by 1st of June, and here we are in July, and we're getting started. But I guess the draft seasons and stuff are just starting to kick off in full swing. We got the Fish Bowl coming up on Monday, and then we'll be starting to talk more auction stuff and as we get through that. And that's a fun time of year.
Beginning of July, it's July 4th, so happy Independence Day to most of our listeners who are south of the border here. Apparently, from the new house, Blister, I can sit on the deck and see the fireworks.
Yeah, well, we're probably going to miss them, I bet. They're going to start probably in 4 minutes, I think. And from our deck, you could see them great.
Well, yeah, you could throw a baseball. I was going to say you could hit a golf ball over there.
Not tonight. It would swing back around and hit me in the back of the head, probably. Big old boomerang. If I even hit it. I've developed this ability to top almost every club this year. I'd never had this before.
That's so impressive.
After golfing for however many years, and now it's happening. It's like, what the hell is going on? So maddening.
Well, we'll have Slim around next time. In case you're brand new to the show, if you haven't been listening for 10 years, hopefully you didn't listen year one anyways. Oh, Blister, they were bad. I'll pull those out of the archives someday. It was just bad. We've developed a cadence, rhythm to the show now. Back then it was not good, so we worked out a lot of kinks that first season. But to think we were podcasting 10 years ago, most people didn't even know what a podcast was.
Well, when you first talked about it, I had no clue,
so it's my secret weapon.
Now it's the only reason I cut their lawn.
every 2 days.
Yeah, exactly. There's that one long stem of grass. I better get out there and cut.
Well, and you don't have much of a lawn to cut, so you got to play it on 5x speed.
Actually, that's a good idea. I could get through a lot more stuff then, yeah.
Well, they say the standard now is 1.5.
Is that right?
1.5. 2 is too fast for me. 1.5 is what I listen to.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So our voice is really fast if you go 1.5 speed.
Yeah. I talk fast enough and mumble enough as it is, so I don't think you could understand anything if I went too fast. I sped it up too much.
Well, so hopefully Slim will be on next week and we can get to some real stuff. And let's get things rolling here then, Blister. So if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. And so, Blister, I've been waiting until after Cock the Hammer for that noise. Fresh. I've got myself a Forgotten Ale, Lake of the Woods. Hey, speaking of that, have you checked out the new brewery in town, the Hallett?
No, I've seen it. I drove by it. There was a lot of people there the other day.
Had beer on July 1st there.
Oh, how was it?
It was not too shabby. I had a bitter orange something or other. It was good. It's good. The flight was good. They only had four taps on, but we're really moving up in the world, our little neck of the woods here. We have one microbrewery that seats 15 people, I think, in there. So, but it's nice. Yeah. It's really nice in there. It's good. Good. Something's finally happening in town.
Three or four cannabis shops, though.
There. Yeah. Well,
more than we have gas stations, for Christ's sake. Good Lord.
That's true. Yeah. Three cannabis shops, two gas stations, and a partridge in a pear tree. There you have it. Anyway, so we just cocked the hammer. We got a great show for you tonight. Tonight, first episode of 2023. We're going to quickly, when I say quickly, recap last season. It's going to be quick, and then we're going to get things moving through what we know so far in 2023. So, Blister, the only real recap I wanted to make and had to refresh your memory too. Our big auction, the big one that we planned for, the whole reason why this podcast existed in the first place is from us doing this big auction. We moved to a 14-teamer, Superflex, head on down to Bemidji, Buffalo Wild Wings. When I say down Bemidji, everybody else is going, Bemidji? Where in the hell is Bemidji? Northern Minnesota, so that's south for us. And picked myself a team down there, went a little bit aggressive at quarterback, which I don't normally do, but at a 14-teamer, I wanted to have something going. So, Blister, you ready? This is my drafted lineup. Are you ready?
Yep.
This is who I drafted. Josh Allen at 40. Okay. DeAndre Swift.
$40. Yep.
DeAndre Swift, 36. Etienne for 22. Michael Pittman for 31. DJ Moore, 23. TJ Hawkinson for 12. I got Goff as my second QB at 5. We also had two additional flexes here. James Cook at 6. Melvin Gordon at 5. I finished with on the bench at that point in time was Nico Collins, Pacheco, Kenny Gainwell, Josh Palmer, Garrett Wilson, Wandell Robinson, and KJ Hamler. You might notice that if you were to look at the sheet, there is a blank on the sheet. Technical difficulties abound in me at the draft. I had to forfeit week one, even Blister, and I still pulled off the championship.
That's pretty damn good.
Right? But listen, that lineup is pretty weak.
Well, what the hell happened there? Yeah.
Well, waiver wire, my friend. Pacheco came on. Hawkinson came on. Oh, they came on at the right times, right? And Garrett Wilson there. And so all of a sudden you had a little bit of movement, but to start DeAndre Swift, Michael Pittman.
What was mine?
DJ Moore. Lineup? No, I don't. I just have – this is my cheat sheet I was just looking off of.
Oh, I was looking for my team. And I know I have all my teams somewhere. Oh, there they go. But I don't know how much I paid for everybody.
Oh, have my cheat sheet up from last year. So, I mean, it's still on the website. Oh. If you head on over to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com, and – click on, if you're still a member, you have access to all this stuff from before. I haven't updated the website as of right now. I might try to do some work here on the weekend and get things up and rolling with new previews of rankings, get our rankings up there for you to preview. Also, get the membership area ready to roll like last year. So we'll have that all ready to go. But we wanted to start the podcast first and get people, you know, starting to drool a little bit, Blister, for 2023.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we got to get her going because it's time to get our heads wrapped around football here, too. Yeah, my team wasn't that good in the big auction. I had Russell Wilson, who stunk. We'll probably talk about that soon. Kirk Cousins, okay. Mitch Trubisky, but Najee Harris did nothing. Damian Pierce was okay. Singletary. Hassan Haskins, who probably see some suspension this year, I think.
Yeah.
Mike Davis, Zach Moss, Mark Ingram, must have been for a dollar each. Jamar Chase is probably my best player. Brandon Cooks didn't do anything. Brandon Ayuk was good. Brian Edwards sucked. Alec Pierce was okay. Goddard and Hayden Hurst.
Nice.
What a hell of a team. That was, well, it was a 14-teamer last year. That was the only 14 league I think I was in last year. And boy, oh boy, that was bad. You know what? That's what I look across the board, and I have Dak as a quarterback in quite a few of my leagues last year, and that just didn't work out all that well for me.
Well, Dak, I mean, that was my starting lineup wasn't great by the end of the season. I was really happy with what it looked like when I left the draft. Like, I thought I did pretty well, and things looked pretty good, but it's pretty bleak when you look back at it. I don't know what my final roster looked like at the end. I did some waiver moves, and then guys like, I say, Pacheco and Hawkinson started to do some things for me. Josh Allen, of course, was good, but there's a lot of mediocrity there.
Yeah, well, the waiver wire is key. I look at all these lineups I had last year. I always kind of keep a list of all my teams and track them and try to make sure I don't have too many one guy, or if I want to get somebody else for to switch it up. And you know, most situations, other than some of them are keepers and dynasties, like when it's a redraft league, you have to play that waiver wire hard.
Yeah,
there might not be as much out there in the dynasty league, but redraft is definitely that the draft is the fun part, and then winning, I think, requires playing the waiver wire and getting your auction bids in and stuff like that all year long. Otherwise, it's pretty hard to just have that same lineup and win with
for sure. I think we spend so much time getting ready for your big auction. You know, you spend all summer priming yourself, researching, making your tiers, checking out the AAVs, reading the rules, figuring out who you're drafting against, coming up with some strategies, doing all that stuff. And then that's only one part of it, because your starting lineup never looks like your final lineup. The waiver wire is super important, and then setting your lineup super important. Like, those are the – so there's really three phases to it. I just think that most guys put – all their eggs into the draft and then don't do as much with everything else. And, you know, that's how you're going to win, is by doing everything else.
Yeah. Some people get sloppy when it comes time to put in their bids or the waiver wire, and they forget about it. And like, I know in some of our leagues lately, a lot of guys have been, I see, oh, waiver claim went through. And I might be guilty of being sloppy right now because I haven't really been looking at what's out there on the waivers. And I don't think
waivers
a whole
in
lot.
Dynasty though. I mean, come on.
There's not a lot out there, no.
No.
But I did
not
have
when
a
you
lot
have
of guys.
45 guys on your roster. Who's out there?
Yeah. Well, after the rookie draft, though, I did save a lot of guys that hadn't been drafted. And then I noticed that a lot of other guys were on them, too, because they picked them all up before I did. But I didn't really have anybody else I wanted to drop from my roster at that point either. So they were just guys I'd watch. But, yeah, I'm ready to start researching. But I haven't done my tiers yet. I'm going to have to start working on that. So.
And getting some of that stuff going. I mean, it's the start of July here, right? So the OTAs are over. The camps are going to start here in a couple weeks. So we'll start to get a real feel for what teams are going to look like and, you know, what the new movement, those guys who have moved, what they're looking like with the new rosters. Of course, you know, training camp buzz is all, I mean, coach speak anyways, but at least to get you a little bit of a feel about what's going on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, so just looking quickly, Blister, we just did this pre-pod too, but let's just quickly go through what last year looked like as far as our top 10 rankings heading into the big draft weekends. And then if you want to butt in and give any sort of reflection or anything like that, then let's do that. Let's look at quarterbacks first. Our consensus ranking for the top 10 goes – Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Mahomes at 3, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray at 6, Joe Burrow, Dak, Russell Wilson at 9, and Tom Brady rounds out the top 10. Thoughts on their top 10 quarterbacks there, Blister?
Well, I think one of the key there is the ranking for us, but is more the auction value, right? The cost. And
right.
In a super flex or a 12-team super flex, we had Josh Allen at $49 down to Tom Brady at $30. And in a, just a single quarterback league, $27 for Josh and Tom Brady down to only about $8. Big difference in costs for sure. But I think when you look at those names and stuff, I think, you know, Herbert was, we had second overall. He kind of underperformed. He didn't really perform up to that value. Lamar was a bit of a disappointment. Jalen Hurts was a lot better than that. Kyler Murray was a bit of a disappointment. Burrow was decent. Dak, Russ, and Tom all really didn't perform up to what you would pay for them. So, and I had a lot of those three guys, Dak, Russ, and Tom. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier, but we had Tua down at 17. He way overperformed his value. And Geno Smith, we had way down at 34.
Geno, we had, like I was saying, we had Drew Locke ranked just above him.
Yeah, he had a career year. So, I mean, there's going to be guys like that again this year. I think like we even had Daniel Jones at 23. He's been inside the top 12. So this year, I imagine there'll be something similar. Like you go with, like there's guys we can talk about later when we look at our 2023 ranks that I don't have the faith in them performing to a top 10 rank. But right now, a lot of the experts have them in the top 10. So
we'll
see. I mean, maybe there'll be, sometimes you're wrong on people too. Like
well, for sure.
You know, very seldom, but it happens.
Very seldom. Let's move on to running backs. Let's take a look at the top 10 there. Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Eckler at 3, then Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon at 6, DeAndre Swift, Najee, Aaron Jones, who was at 9, and Saquon rounded out the top 10.
Yeah, and then and looking at the actual rankings, Austin Eckler came 1, Chris McCaffrey 2, Jacobs 3, Henry, Barkley, Chubb, Jones, Ramondre Stevenson surprised me. I didn't realize he got up that high, number 8.
Yeah, Tony Pollard, we have him all the way down 34 preseason. Yeah,
and Dalvin Cook 10. So Najee was disappointing. I had him in a few leagues. He ended up 14th and only averaged 13, just over 13.4 fantasy points per game. Kamara was another guy that was disappointing last year. So with those,
whiff on that is DeAndre Swift in the top 10.
Yeah, and I wasn't as high on him last year either. But he, where did he end up finishing up?
Well, you had him at 9. Slim had him at 6. Yeah. I had him at 5. Yeah, big whiffs for us. But
14 games, he finished 21st in PPR scoring. So
right.
Little disappointing for sure. And this year, like when you look at a lot of them this year, well, I guess we'll wait until we talk about this year, but there's a lot of guys with question marks again this year too.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick round out at the wide receivers, Blister. Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase are our top 3. Diggs, Lamb, and Davante Adams, the next 3. Then Debo, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen was at 9, and Michael Pittman Jr. at 10.
Yeah, unfortunately, Michael Pittman didn't get very good quarterback play last year. So
yes.
He actually came in at 20. So Jefferson was the number 1. Did we have Tyreek Hill? No way.
Tyreek Hill was at 13.
Yeah,
you had him at 10.
He ended up 2nd. Devontae, 3rd, Steph Diggs, 4, A.J. Brown, 5, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, 7. Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Amari Cooper. Can't believe Amari Cooper snuck into the top 10.
And Jamar Chase. Amon-Ra, St. Brown, we had at 31.
Jamar Chase was good, but he only played 12 games. But he averaged 20.5 fantasy points per game. Probably would have been 2nd just to Justin Jefferson had he had a full schedule. Justin Jefferson averaged 21.5 points per game. But yeah, there's always going to be that's the thing. If you had a crystal ball, you'd know these guys in the top 10, because I know that, for example, if I know that Debo Samuel is not going to perform up to number 7 and I'm going to throw him out there early and get him bid up now this year, he's probably not going to bring down as much money because people have a lot of question marks around him.
Yeah.
So
for sure. Rounding out important positions. We don't really look at DST and kickers too much, but tight ends, we had Kelsey, Andrews, Pitts, Waller, Kittle, Dalton Schultz at 6, Hawkinson, Ertz, Goddard, and Dawson Knox at the 10 hole there.
Oh, and Dawson Knox, he ended up 13th.
Tight end is so hard to...
after Kelsey, I think Hockenson ended up second last year overall in points, but not in points per game. George Kittle was ahead of him. Mark Andrews, Evan Engram. I don't know that Evan Engram will have as big a year again either because they drafted a guy and they got a bunch of different targets. I think that ball is going to get spread around. Higby will be reliant on Stafford staying healthy. Freiermuth could actually go up. Nobody's really talking about him right now. Kmet, I don't know. Schultz, he's in a new home this year, so who knows how he'll do. Njoku. I don't really like him, but he's a guy that could. He was 10th last year. He could, if Deshaun Watson plays better, he could be better too. So
right,
we'll talk about them later. But yeah, those guys. Yeah, tight end is a.
It's hard, man.
I mean, after Travis Kelce, there's such a big gap. So I know why guys now will take him in the first round or spend up because they really do get an advantage at that position. Kyle Pitts. I mean, again, they didn't have much quarterback play. We had him third. Waller, I kind of thought Waller's getting old too. Now he's going to a new home this year as well.
Yeah,
a lot of these things makes you wonder. Like you'd think some of these young quarterbacks coming out, we always think they're going to rely on their tight end. And I hear a lot of people talking about Irv Smith, like that's who I was going at. Like the best guys are going after him this year. He's in Cincinnati, but he has never done anything yet. Like he's never stayed healthy. He's never had a great season. He's a lot of potential, but there's a ton of guys in the NFL that have a lot of potential that don't do anything. So I wouldn't even waste time on him till he does something.
All right. Well, that quickly just kind of wraps up 2022. Again, just wanted to say won the big auction this year. Kind of a big deal. Guys like Blister just decided to erase their memory, take the whiteboard, white eraser, clean everything out up there.
When I saw when I went through my roster, Jamar Chase was my best player, but he only played 12 games. That's probably what sunk me, and I don't even think I made the playoffs. I might have been closer. I might have been the first round and out, but it was not good.
And 14 teamers made things just a little bit different, right? You had to construct that roster a little bit differently with how things went. All right, well, let's take a quick peek at 2023 Blister and just see kind of where our heads are at moving into this preseason and taking a look at training camp coming up here in about three and a half weeks for most teams. I think somewhere in the July 20s. But you got Ghost in the basement there. What's going on? You keep peeking.
Can you hear stuff?
No, I can just see you peeking.
Oh, I'm playing with some hair elastics from my hair.
Oh, from your hair. You let your hair down for the podcast?
Yeah. Sorry. I keep forgetting that we have a video this time. We haven't had a video for so long.
We haven't had one forever. No.
I'll have to try to get a better angle like this next time.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, just as long as it's not the old angle when you were laying in bed. I think tarps off. You could just see
I was riding the wave.
Ooh. Well, I've been noticing the reason. So we go to live stream this year. We're going to try this out. Been noticing that there's a lot of content on YouTube. And it seems, back when we used to go on YouTube all the time and you just didn't get much in the way of hits. It wasn't really a thing. People didn't sit down and watch YouTube for any amount of time. It was kind of like TikTok back then. You had a short attention span and it was quick and fast. And so to have an hour long podcast on YouTube didn't seem very effective, but the technology is better. It makes it a lot easier for us to get on YouTube. And then at the same time, I think people are doing that a little bit more. Like they're viewing it as TV now, like you have your smart TV, you can just fire up YouTube and the wife's cooking dinner and you can just take in some fantasy football content. So there's some good stuff that's out there right now. We thought we'd give her a try and see if it works. If it doesn't work, if you like it, then subscribe and like or whatever you do on YouTube. If you don't like it, subscribe and like it anyways, just because you like us. If not, we'll still be doing the regular podcast as well. I got to do a little bit of work at the change of computers. So the sounders, and we have to do a little work to get that back to where it needs to be, but we'll get her rolling over the summer here. So Blister, looking at the summer and moving into 2023, we've got rankings up. It's been a couple of weeks since you've done them, but there hasn't been a whole lot of work out there that's made you change your mind. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure like there's no one's been doing anything. So when you took a look at this season, what are some of the ways in which you work out your numbers for your initial rankings?
Well, I mean, kind of expectations that I based on last year, like when I get a little more accurate with my stuff, hopefully it'll be a little more accurate, but a little bit more time put into it. You know, I'll take into consideration schedule. I'll take into consideration any coaching changes, any staff changes, any personnel, like did the quarterback get an upgrade at the receiving core, or did they go down, or what's going on in that regard? Just a lot of things like that. And then when I do my tiers and stuff, I kind of group the players according to what the costs are going to be on those players, not necessarily what I think they're going to do. Because if I go and I, you know, for example, if I put in Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts in the first tier, maybe in the second tier, just looking at this, I might have Burrow, Jackson, Herbert, and Fields, maybe Lawrence or somebody in there, whatever. Like I can know how much, if I know roughly what they're going to cost me, then I can target certain players in certain tiers, because I know, okay, I can't afford this tier, now I gotta start looking at this tier. And like, that's kind of how I do it, because I think, you know, when you're doing your actual auction, you have to always be very wary of what kind of money you have left, and if you spend more at a position, where you're going to take it away from later. So that's kind of some of the stuff I look at. And I think going into this drafting season, like, I think there's a lot of guys, and obviously there's getting me more talk and more hype out there and more focus on the football season, and all the drafts that are probably going to start taking place, you know, more so near the end of the month and in August. But there's a lot of the big celebrity or expert type drafts that they have on the radio and stuff, you know. But anyways, yeah, a lot of those things. I think the biggest thing for me is offensive line. If it's noted like it's going to be a bad offensive line, then that really, all those players are going to suck on that offense, because the quarterback has no time to do anything and everyone's just getting eaten alive. But the schedule too, like, it's hard. Like, you can't put too much thought into the strength of schedule, because they're basing it on last year's stats, basically last year's defenses, and defenses change too, you know. So even though all the experts, the people that do this all the time, 24/7, it's their job, they're on the radio, they're writing magazines, they're on website, they're whatever, TV shows, like, they still get this shit wrong. Like, they mean, even I was in one baseball draft. It's the most fucking prehistoric system that known to mankind. It's horse shit. And
tell us how you really feel.
I'm winning it right now, but but it's awful. And even then, like, they said, like, Cincinnati Reds will be garbage. Well, they're winning their division. So if they're winning and all those guys, like, you know, you try to stay away from those relievers because they're not going to have any save opportunities because they're going to lose. Well, they're not. St. Louis Cardinals suck, but they're not supposed to. And, like, so all these people that put all this time and effort and the same thing's going to happen with football. Like, you're going to go into a draft and, you know, everyone's pumping up, for example, at quarterback right now, Justin Fields. And you know what, Justin Fields, like, if he better run for 1,000 yards then and 20 touchdowns, because he's probably only going to throw 8. Like, he doesn't, to me, that's not very good. And he's not very big. And so he's going to get popped on one of those runs. And as soon as that happens, he's toast. So I mean, I'm not putting all my eggs in that basket. I just really can't see that. I mean, to me, he hasn't done that much. He's had a few good games and started to run the ball, but he's only good if he's running. So, I mean, and those, don't get me wrong, those fantasy points are great. Cam Newton, all the running quarterbacks that we have had, they're great, but I just don't see him being great. And I don't see him putting up those kind of numbers other than running, but
anyway. Which is why you have him down at 10.
Yeah, and I might even move that. But I mean, I can't probably, I don't know. It's hard to move other guys ahead of them. I mean, Deshaun Watson could definitely finish higher than him. Tua, I already have him a little bit higher, but, you know, I'm still kind of low on Kirk Cousins and Daniel Jones, 12 and 13. But, you know, those guys continue to kind of, they're right around there, 9, 10, 11. You know, they seem to be able to squeak into that top 12, even though they never really blow you away any given week, you know?
Yeah, but it's that consistency of points per game, right? And the high floor, gets you there, right? Where they might not have that super high ceiling for you. I mean, a guy I'm higher on than you guys right now, and then probably than lots, is Russell Wilson. I just think that there's got to be a regression to the norm here. If you look at his numbers over his career, and there's, you know, when he was playing in Seattle, it was a run first offense and all of those things too, but he still put up numbers. He still did things. So there's got to be something last year, and it's a change now. Maybe it's a Sean Payton effect that'll happen. You know, some of those things, but I just, it seems like it was an outlier last year. And how can, you know, if we've been so high on him for so long, all of a sudden he's a bad quarterback, like just like that, or did he just have a bad year? So that's where I bumped him up to 11, which is quite a bit higher than what you two guys have him. But that's right now. I mean, who knows if we even see him in preseason, what he looks like, and those things all change by the time you get to the end of August.
Yeah, Sean Payton factor could be a big factor for him. I hope it is. I don't know how he could fall off the face of the earth so quickly when he has weapons around him. Now, they still think Cortland Sutton could be traded, or they could wait until, you know, if they're out of it, they could trade him at some point during the season. But they got a lot of other pretty solid weapons there.
So, for sure.
You know, I think, you know, Deshaun, like I said, I started to say Deshaun Watson's a big question mark. I have him at 11. He's right around there. Slim's got him at 9. You got him at 10. Like, he could be, like, is he ever going to get back to kind of what he was? I mean, he was off a long time. I didn't expect much.
He needs
much.
some more therapy, massages, those types of things will help him.
Probably tightened up. He's probably tightened up. But, you know, he could jump up the charts quite a bit too. But it's hard to say. And I think a lot of people are expecting Trevor Lawrence to continue to go get better and better, and hopefully he will. He's got a lot of good weapons around him, so he could finish up. He could finish higher than 6. But I go way down here to Kenny Pickett, where we have him. I'm 21, so I'm at 28, and you have him at 22. I think he'll be better this year. I mean, they had a lot of time to study him in college because he played right there in Pittsburgh. They know what they're getting. I mean, he is a rookie last year. Peyton Manning led the league in friggin' interceptions by a landslide when he was a rookie, and he turned out okay. Now, I'm not saying Kenny
turned Pickett, out okay. Yeah,
I'm not saying Kenny Pickett is a Peyton Manning by any means, but I just think he's got some pretty good weapons around him. You got to think Deontay Johnson's going to have an increase from his 0 touchdown season last year.
You would think
so. Yeah. You know, if he throws a few to him, and George Pickens is there, and like I said earlier, Pat Freiermuth, and Najee wasn't great last year, but if that offensive line, then everybody can play a little bit better. I mean, they have some solid weapons, so I think that, you know, he's a guy I would target for myself.
But his hands are small.
Oh, that's rough. Yeah, he's just got to throw it, he doesn't have to catch it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So he can actually hold on to the football, right?
Yeah. Well, doesn't he get to use a littler football?
Yeah. Well, they deflate it a little bit for one of those little minis.
Nerf football?
Yeah. But his hands, okay, I mean, come on. His hands are probably bigger than ours.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they are.
So I can throw a CFL football. Our balls are bigger. But, you know, what about rookies? Like Anthony Richardson, we actually have it at 17 right now overall. Slim, he's high on him at 13. We have him at 17 and 18.
Well, you know, I think with quarterbacks, like rookie quarterbacks and tight ends too, I wouldn't spend as much on them. Like I definitely couldn't spend that much money on, if he is $5, yeah, maybe, but if he uses his legs, obviously he's going to get you some points there. But you still got to see it. And who does he have left to throw to here?
Right.
There's not a ton of guys out there to throw at. I'm just going to see if I can pull up.
But look at a guy like Daniel Jones last year who ran a fair amount. Yeah. Who did he have to throw the football to?
All kinds of guys are almost the same. Well, he's got Pittman, Alec Pierce, McKenzie. Yeah. Josh Downs is a rookie. Yeah, Pittman's going to have to play well.
Yeah.
There's not a lot there.
No.
Not much. Nothing.
But the rushing upside and rushing touchdowns, those types of things, I think in a super flex, he's a nice 2. But in a 1 QB league, it'd be tough to have him as your QB1.
Oh boy, would he ever be? He would have a lot of upside as your QB2. You know, if he runs and if he gets you like the bare minimum, but then all of a sudden he runs a touchdown in or has 70 yards on the ground or something, which is not unreal, probably, then he would be a great QB2 for you.
Right. Yeah. And then what else? Like, what about a guy like Jordan Love?
That's what I wonder about with him. Like, he's going to have a pretty young receiving core. He's young himself. I don't know. I'm not confident.
But he's not that young. He's in his third year in the league now?
Yeah, I think at least, isn't it?
Yeah, at least.
I don't know. Like, he's a guy, again, does he run a lot?
I don't think so. You don't know much about him because you haven't seen him.
No. So Jaden Reed is a rookie they drafted. They got Christian Watson, Romeo Dobbs, whatever, however you want to say it. Duber.
Dobbs.
And then a couple of rookie tight ends in there. I don't know. There's a lot of young people on this roster right here. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones could get fed a lot, perhaps. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't see. I don't see this team playing that great.
What if we take a look at running backs heading into the season, Blister? Sure. We've got someone like Bijan, nice and high. What are you thinking about Bijan right now? You and Slim both have him at 3. I'm a little lower on him at 6, but still inside, you know, inside that top 10 for sure.
Well, I mean, he's got a lot of hype, right? And mm-hmm. I'm not the kind of person that likes a shiny new toy and gravitates towards that. But there's a lot of hype. But what worries me, and I might move him down even, is like, again, what's the quarterback play going to be like in Atlanta? And are they going to be, you know, stacking the box against him? Like, I don't know that they're going to have the offense that you know. I think to have a good running back and stuff, you have to have a good passing attack still too. You have to be able to, you know, you can't be so predictable that the ball's going to the same guy all the time. And after Bijan, I mean, what else do we got here? Desmond Ridder leading or Taylor Heinicke? That might be more Heinicke might be more reliable. I don't even know. But Kyle Pitts, I hope he makes a step forward. And Drake London's pretty solid last year, but after that, the receiving core is kind of blah. They got Mac Hollins and Scott Miller.
Yeah,
like that's their right now. That's their 2 and 3, and after it's pretty grim behind Drake London. So say they all start and say they're all healthy and wonderful. If Drake London goes down and or Kyle Pitts, and then also like they got a great tight end. If he starts, he hasn't done a hell of a lot yet though. They got a great right receiver in London, and then they got Bijan. They got Tyler Algier behind Bijan, who had a 1,000-yard season last year.
Yeah,
but I mean that's. After that, I mean, are you going to be scared if Frank Darby replaces Drake London? And I mean, what are you worried about at receiver? Nothing. So I don't know. To me, it's like they've got a very thin line between having some good players or I don't think they have enough depth here to, like, if one of these guys go down, they can focus on shutting down Drake London and Bijan if Kyle Pitts goes down. If Pitts is healthy, then he's not even scary. He just shut down Bijan. So how much can a guy do by himself? In the NFL, I don't think not enough. So he's going to get a lot of money in your auction. I don't think I'd be trusting him myself.
Well, he's right, quote-unquote generational talent. We haven't seen him since Barkley or Jonathan Taylor or, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Isn't a generation like 40 or 50 years? We seem like we're generational talent every –
mm-hmm.
Every couple years, we've got a generational talent at running back. Yeah. But I mean, he's supposed to be the second coming of whomever, and they'll run the ball. They ran it with Algier, and if he's better than Algier, then you know what do those numbers look like? It's just again, it's the rookie aspect of things. But I do think he's going to catch a football, and I think that Atlanta could win that division.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're going to have to score points in order to do so. How about looking around, Ramondre Stevenson, who we had way down in the cellar heading into last season, this year now peaks us out at in the top 10. Slim has him at 9. You have him at 13. I have him at 5. Because I just go, who and what are they going to do in New England?
Well, I think, you know, based on last year, what I just said here, he ended up in the top 10 last year. And I think I was too low on him. He ended up eighth last year. I think he's going to have to get the ball quite a bit again. So I'm probably going to, when I redo my stats, I'll probably be moving him up slightly. I'm just trying to think who would I move down, who moved down. And that's the thing with New England is you can never really trust anybody in the backfield.
Damien Harris is gone.
That's a good thing for him.
So, right. So that was one of the reasons why I wasn't afraid to jump him up there a bit. And if you finished that high last year with a guy like Damien Harris breathing down his neck, and it's not like they did a whole lot to the offense. And they're talking about Mac Jones, not Mac Jones, Mac Jones, not Mac Jones. So, I don't know. Keep feeding them. I mean, listen, it's July 4th. Who knows what these rankings are going to look like in 6 weeks, but...
Well, they're gonna keep changing, especially as injury news and stuff starts coming in. But I'm just trying to look at
when you're high on Etienne right now too. You have him at 7, and Slim has him at 14. I have him at 15.
I was wondering why I was so high compared to you guys. I gotta look at that better.
I'm a little tank Bigsby. I think cuts into it a little bit. I think they throw the football a little bit more. It feels like maybe they don't want Etienne to be a bell cow.
Well, I just think that and one thing I like is they have a good offense. Like they should have a good offense. Mm-hmm. Calvin Ridley supposedly looking good. Christian Kirk. So right there, you know, that's two good receivers. Zay Jones played pretty darn good for them most of the time as well. I think that, I mean, they got Evan Engram, but that rookie they drafted, Brenton Strange, should be good. And then they got a pretty solid team here. So I just think he's going to get lots of red zone opportunities. I think he'll be solid. What did he end up finishing last year? I got to check that out. 17th. And he played all 17 games, too. So that's right. Not great. 12.3 fantasy points per game.
So does he do a lot better this year than last year?
I think he doesn't do as good as what I got him ranked right now, but I do think he does better. I think I would move him up to the 13-14 range.
Well, that's why this is a good exercise. Yeah, and interesting when you look at a guy like Derrick Henry, who, you know, just all he does is win. 11-11-7. Like, we have him down consensus at RB9. That just it feels low for a guy that could easily be RB1.
Oh, yeah, but I just think he's got so much wear on the tires now. I worry about him in that regard. Maybe
what do you think his 349 rush attempts last year was a lot?
This is probably more than most teams had total. I worry a little bit about him. And then that whole offense, too, is it going to be able to continue to roll? There's kind of a lot of question marks with him right now. So I don't know, like you could get them for a steal, but I think that, like, they do so much research on these guys and they do start to wear out. And I don't have anything in front of me, but I do think that he, you know, the last two seasons, I think he faded a lot in the second half and they didn't get the touches that he was getting. So again, you don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, in 2022. Yeah. I mean, he only played 8 games in 2021, but he had 219 carries.
Yeah.
So, like, on pace for 400 plus.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Like, Hoskins behind him is not going to be probably playing that. So, that Spears, as a rookie, could be a guy that you want to invest in. Because he might be getting the ball. He might be cheaper. Again, Treylon Burks, hopefully he takes a step forward. I mean, all those things. Okonkwo at tight end is a guy that I like who's kind of cheap. But again, it's going to rely on Ryan Tannehill. If Will Levi comes in or Levis or whatever. And then, I don't know. We don't know if we have to rely on a rookie, but the tight end could be okay. I don't know about the rest of the offense. I mean, not all rookies are going to be bad. It's just that it seems like there's a lot of question marks with all of them. And it's so crazy because I remember last year going into this draft, it was like, oh, you want to get 2023 draft picks. You want to get 2023 draft picks. And then we had all our rookie drafts and like,
It's a bad class.
Yeah, so quickly it was like, oh, gross, I don't want this guy. And they fell off so fast. So I don't know. You know, and I'm looking at, oh, did I? I might have screwed up the rankings here just now. Oh, my.
Oh, way to
Dalvin
go,
Cook, too. I don't know where Dalvin Cook's
turn
coming
off out. The editing while we were in the podcast.
Oh, I know. I definitely got to go over all these some more. Jeez.
Any dark horses here, Blister? You know, like Alexander Mattison hasn't really jumped up our rankings. Not that we've updated him probably since Cook has left, but does he jump up?
Well, he probably has to go up a little bit. I don't know that he's the answer there, but he did good last year. I thought he was serviceable when he was there. I talked to a Viking fan who'll be listening to this tomorrow at work, and he doesn't believe in him. He doesn't think Alexander will be okay. But I think he'll be a little bit better than what he is. But I mean, you look at all these guys, like there's so many people ahead of him right now. So we have him, I have him say 31st, but just looking, David Montgomery's going to a new home. And they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs, right? DeAndre Swift is in a new place, and they have Kenneth Gainwell, right? Mm-hmm. Who did quite well for them last year. Connor, injury concerns. Pacheco did pretty good last year, but there's still a couple other guys around that are going to get their touches. And Rashad White, it's stepping into a bigger role, we presume, but can he handle it? Damian Pierce has got company there because Singletary went there. Cam Akers has been kind of underperforming, been banged up. Does he take that next step forward? We'll see. They did draft a rookie running back. Miles Sanders.
Who's the running back you take in Philadelphia?
Oh, God. I think they're going to – and then Rashad Penny's in Philadelphia, too.
Yeah, Rashad Penny, DeAndre Swift.
And Kenneth Gainwell.
Yeah.
I'd probably take Gainwell out of them all. He's been there. I mean, he'll be the cheapest one, I think, just for that matter. I don't really have confidence in Swift. Also, what I don't like about it is Jalen Hurts is going to tuck it in and run it himself. So, kind of like to stay away from those running backs when the quarterback's probably not going to give it to him, just do it himself.
Well, what about with the Bears?
Well, that's the thing, too. I don't know. I don't know that he will do that as much. Yeah, he probably will. But that's the thing with the Bears. The same situation, right? Like
is it Khalil Herbert? Is it Roshan? Like
when you look at all these running backs ahead, there's so many question marks. Like it's so scary right now to think how much money would you invest in any of these guys. Even Tony Pollard, I mean, he did really good. Can he be that number one? Some people don't think he can.
Yeah, there's a need to be the thunder and lightning type of a role, right?
Saquon is not happy. Saquon hasn't signed a franchise tag yet. I think Jonathan Taylor will have a bit of a bounce back. We talked about Bijan. A lot of these guys had Najee Harris was disappointing last year. Will he be better? I don't know. Joe Mixon wasn't great. I got him way too high, though. That's probably where I stopped when I was trying to move guys around.
I don't see with two tens. It's a notorious thing that Blister does during the podcast is updates his rankings while we're talking. And then if you look over at our ranking sheet, he's quickly editing and away we go.
I have to do this some more.
All right, Blister, let's take a look at some wide receivers then heading into this season. So I think, you know, it's pretty standard issue up top in that top 10. Now Ross St. Brown is in our top 10. We didn't have him anywhere near there last year, but I kind of thought he was a flash in the pan, you know, because he didn't have anyone else to throw to the year previous, so he wasn't going to perform heading into 2022, which he obviously did. But, you know, question marks in places like Seattle, for instance, you know, like what do you do there with Lockett and Metcalf and now, you know, Smith and Jigba is there, right? So like JSN. So what are you doing in a place like Seattle?
I don't know. That kind of scares me that because there's three pretty good receivers there now. And you know, I think Geno's going to step back a little bit. And it's crazy because he's got three good targets, but I don't know that he can have as good a year as he did last year. But at the same time, even if he does, like he could have a good year, but each one of those guys could be, you know, just kind of like as a team, they're probably doing well, but how do you invest in a lot of money in them? I guess it all comes down to price. Like you could pick any one of those three if you wanted to based on best value. And my guessing is Metcalf would be the most expensive, and then Lockett, and then Smith and Jigba. But I think personally, those would be some guys I would nominate and let somebody else decide. And then, I mean, if the price was cheap enough, then maybe I get in. But right now, I'm a little hesitant to do that.
Yeah, when I look at these rankings too, from running back to wide receiver, it makes me think like of almost doing a stars and scrubs by those positions. Like you're either going to go all in a running back and try to make hay down low here by, you know, like a guy like Godwin, who we have at 26 right now. Maybe if Russell Wilson does have a bounce back year, a guy like Jerry Jeudy jumps up. You got Pittman all the way down low, so you can make some hay there and spend some money at the top end of running back. Or I think maybe the more way I'm leaning right now is spend money high at the receiver position and try to make your hay down low with the running backs, you know, and maybe you get lucky with a guy like A-Chain or something like that at the running back position down low. James Cook maybe does something, you know, maybe you get lucky with a guy like Madison if he hits. I mean, even Pacheco we have down in the early 20s. So I don't know. I mean, just strategy-wise, it doesn't feel like it's a year to me where you go one big-name receiver, one big-name running back, and try to fill it all in. I think you almost have to put your eggs in one basket. Right now, it's my initial thought.
Yeah, I mean, because everything, like we looked at those running backs, and anywhere in the top 30, you could almost have a question mark on almost all of them.
Yeah.
Which makes it scary to invest a lot of money in receiver. Even, you know, I like Jefferson, I like Chase, Cooper Kupp, you know, he's 30 now, and he's not getting any younger. And if Stafford goes down at some point, because he's also a guy that at the start of his career is quite injury prone. Then he had a pretty good stretch, and then last year again he got banged up, and he's getting older. So now it seems to be takes a little bit longer to heal. But he, you know, if he goes down, then Cooper Kupp is not going to be all that relevant, probably. It's not going to be worth $40 or whatever you're paying for him. Tyreek Hill's got some legal troubles. I don't know, like, if he's going to be seeing some time off the field either. So I think CD, like, I like CD last year. I like him this year. I think Dak has a better year. I think CD does well. Steph Diggs, he's starting to turn into a bit of a prima donna.
Yeah, that we kind of knew he was in Minnesota.
He was, yeah. And now it's starting to show as well. So I could see that guy kind of taking a step back, and we don't know where DeAndre Hopkins is going to sign yet. If he ended up showing up there, that would really put Steph's nose out of joint. I think AJ Brown will be solid again. Devontae, it's hard to say because he's always got Jimmy Garoppolo throwing him the ball, right? We expect Garrett Wilson to be good and better because Aaron Rodgers is there. I think Amon Ra, out of those top 10 guys there, you know, I'd probably trust Amon Ra almost as high as third, just because if I was going to spend more than $30 on the guy, his situation is pretty much the same. He's got Goff there. I mean, Jameson Williams came back a little bit last year, but Amon Ra has established himself as their go-to guy there. So I think he'll be, especially a PPR, he's going to be great. Waddle again, he could be better or worse. I mean, depends on Tua. Some people think Tua's going to be great. And also, if Tyreek is gone for like a time, excuse me, a big yawn. But if he is, Waddle's going to get a lot more targets. Olave, another guy who, can he take another step forward? I mean, I think, what's the guy? Who's the guy I'm forgetting from New Orleans? Michael Thomas, right?
Right. Yeah. He's one back, looking good, in shape.
I mean, it's been a long time since he's back and looking good and all this stuff. So,
and is he okay up here? His body could be good, but what's the melon look like?
That's what I wonder. So, there's three question marks even with these guys, right? Is Debo was disappointed in his year last year, disappointed himself. He wants to do better, but again, he's not a big, strong guy that, you know, he can't take a pounding like he has. And when he carries the ball, unfortunately, it's good for your stats, but he takes more of a beating. So can he play all 17 next year?
Yeah.
Say.
Lots of question marks.
There's, you know, when you go all through this, Calvin Ridley, you know, we got him down here on 18. He hasn't played for a whole year, and he's into the new team. And, you know, so many of these guys, I mean, Amari, remember, he finished 10th last year. He could be, if Deshaun is better and ready to play the full year now, Amari could be a top 10 guy again.
Well, I think Amari Cooper is just There's not a lot of flash. He's not going to be the wide receiver one, but he's just solid. He doesn't drop balls. He gets a few extra yards. He's a red zone threat. He does all of those things, and he just plays in Cleveland, so you don't care about him. He plays in Cleveland, you don't care about him. Sorry to all the guys in the ECL, but, you know, they just don't care about him. And then all of a sudden you look at his stat line, you're like, Amari Cooper went 10 for $120 and a score? How did that happen?
Yeah.
Right? Because he doesn't do it flashy, and he's not doing the gritty after, and, you know, he's acting like he's been there before he drops the ball and heads back for some water. So, what about tight end, Blister? Like, we've got, you know, Kelce, Andrews, Hockenson now up at 3. Oh, I see I didn't do my tight end rankings. I guess I'll have to get in there and do that. Whoop, whoop, whoop. You know, Kittle and Goddard and Freiermuth and Waller at 8, Engram at 9, Okonkwo at 10.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kelce again is going to be your clear-cut number one. Andrews, they're saying right now in Baltimore they're going to throw the ball more. Well, Andrews is his number one target, so it could be good for him. But Hockenson, I do expect him to take another step forward with Minnesota this year. He did really well last year going there. You got to hope that Pitts comes to life. Well, tight end does typically take a little bit longer, and he can play a lot longer too. You can play until you're a little older. So he might be good. Kittle, if like Brock Purdy looked for Kittle quite a bit, but what if Trey Lance is playing? I don't know that he has that same connection. I don't know if Trey will tuck it and run versus throwing it over to Kittle. So there's some questions with that as
well. What if Sam Darnold's throwing the football?
That's terrible.
But it could happen. I don't think they like Lance.
I know. Why did they do that? I don't know why.
Up to get him and then don't give him a shot.
Yeah,
like, he should be the undeniable starter coming into this season.
Yeah.
He traded up. So, he got hurt last year. Purdy, good on you. You did okay for us. Like, he wasn't anything. Like, right? He didn't light up the world. He just won football games. But Trey Lance has the ability to light up the world. The arm can run, right?
Yeah, I can't believe I can't believe he's not just easily their guy.
Yeah, should just be a given.
And then you got Purdy there. If you got to go to him, you can go to him. But you got to see what you got in Trey Lance.
Sam Darnold's going to start week one.
That'll be just disgusting.
And he's at, 25 only still? Sam Darnold? Yeah, well, he was in the league at like 20, wasn't he? Or just about 21, something like that. Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, like he's as old as who's an old rookie last year? There's a quarterback that came out that was like 24 when he came out. Oh, well, I mean, Joe Burrow was like 24 almost when he came out, didn't he? Wasn't he old?
I don't remember.
50-year guy? Anyways.
Could have been.
Yeah. And then what about, you know, a guy like Schultz, I see you highlighting there as you're changing your rankings as we speak. You know, he's changed teams now. What do you think there?
I don't know. Like, they don't have a ton of experience there. I mean, he could be reliable. A lot of people seem down on him though this year, which I don't know if that's right or not. He's been very serviceable, but I just think that going to a new team, definitely not as big of weapons as what they had in Dallas. To me, it's a little bit scary. You know, we'll see Jay Stroud start. I don't know. Davis Mills, we saw what he is. He's nothing too exciting. I don't think he's going to move the offense. You know, their backfield is decent with Pierce and I think Devin Singletary can still perform. But up front, Nico Collins, John Mechie, and Robert Woods. That's their starting three right now. Everybody behind them, either rookies or, you know, not great players. I think, you know, John Mechie was banged up and he could help out a lot, but Robert Woods is getting to the back end of his career and he's probably not going to be, you know, too scary.
I mean, Robert Woods.
So you got an old guy, a second year guy that's coming off an injury. Then Nico Collins I don't know. To me, there's just maybe Dalton Schultz is the only guy they can rely on and throw to. And in which case, again, a rookie quarterback, solid tight end, maybe he's the number one receiver in that offense.
Yep. Yeah.
But how, like, but like how many drives, like how many drives are 3 and out, and then 5 and out, and then 3 and out, 4 and out, 2 and out. You know, like I don't know that they're going to move the ball down the field all that much. So he might be their leading receiver with 3 catches for 31, or 4 for 40 or something, which isn't like, that's not exciting numbers. How many times they're going to get even close to the end zone? I don't know. That's the scary part about that.
Yeah. One. Well, in tight end, I think after your top 4 or 5, it's just a dart throw anyways.
You know,
it's back like I did when I won that league in 2017 or whatever it is. Just, right? You just stream them.
Play the waiver wire. Well, realistically, yeah. Like if you don't go after Kelce, Andrews, probably, or Hockenson, then why don't you just go for dollar tight ends? And you could probably throw in a different guy all the time and
take Irv Smith and Dalton Kincaid and spend, you know, $5 or $6 total and stream them, or go even further down and take
Sam LaPorta. Hayden Hurst might be not a bad one.
Yeah, maybe not bad.
Be a good pickup this year.
Logan Thomas, you could get super late. You know, you might get lucky. A couple of those guys, like a Taysom Hill, might fall to a dollar, and you pick him up.
Jake Ferguson, and then if, you know, sure. I think he'll be the Cowboys' first guy, and then, you know, the rookie they drafted this year could eventually bump him out, like Luke Schoonmaker, but I think you could get him off the waiver wire later on. So I think Jake will get first crack, but there's guys, I mean, and if you he's taken basically Dalton's place, who Dalton was very productive in the offense with Dak, so maybe there's a cheap option for you. You take him and well, there's lots of guys down there for a buck. Jake Ferguson, and like you said, we could take Sam LaPorta. He's a rookie. You don't expect much out of rookie tight ends, but they don't have a lot of tight end in Detroit, so he could be good. Or Hayden Hurst for a dollar. Yeah. Hayden Hurst and Jake Ferguson, $2.
There you go.
Each one a week, and you're probably just as good off as everybody except for the guys that drafted your top 2 or 3 guys.
Right. So, yeah, that's the tight end. It's just such a crapshoot. It's like, you know, it almost like quarterback. If you don't get the top 3 or 4 guys, then you might as well just drop down 3 tiers and pick those guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I want a league or two like that too, where I just waiver wire with the tight ends.
Yeah, just stream them. See the matchup and go.
Yeah.
It can work. It used to work with kickers, and that's how these tight ends are starting to feel.
Gotta love the kickers.
Now, gotta love the kickers because my kid kicks.
Yeah, that's
We're down in Minneapolis this weekend at a big kicking camp.
That's cool. This weekend,
This weekend, We were we were out a couple nights ago, and he on his last kick went from 50 and banged one. So
no shit, that's pretty cool.
Not bad. Turning 17 on Thursday,
banging 50. That's crazy.
easy. That's like that might be the note to wrap it up, Blister.
Like your friends group. The 50s. We're back in Minneapolis, not till end of July, next time we go down for
home. Yeah, when we're at the golf trip.
Yeah, that's right.
After
tonight, I'd like to throw my clubs in the lake.
My brother-in-law couldn't be more upset with you.
Oh, no.
Not being there, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, sure, the first time I go on the golf trip and Blister's got to jam out. And no Miller, no this. And no.
Yeah, he'd probably have about a 12-pack, I think, on this
trip. I think right now there's 12 confirmed, Gibby had emailed.
That's a nice even number.
I like 12. 12 to 15 is good. Last time, 24, I don't even know if I talked to everybody on the trip.
Well, it's hard to do that. It's perfect. You can keep track of everybody and organize shit still.
Yeah. Good. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, Blister. What do you think? I don't have a time.
Yeah, I think we missed the fireworks. I think we missed the fireworks.
Yeah, we missed the fireworks. Oh, wow. I got to go drive to Emo and drive the non-50-year-old home here.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Emo?
His girlfriend lives out there, and she's not 50, his girlfriend. Oh. She plays hockey for you.
Who's that?
Wow. It's a big name in Emo. The mayor of Emo has the same last name.
McQuacker?
There you go.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
See, I did not know this.
You did not know this? You got to stay up on the soon-to-be grade 12 relationship news.
Jesus, yes.
Yeah. Instead of hitting 95s at Heron, you should be keeping track of...
I got to keep up these kids. Yeah. Dang it, anyways.
All right, Blister. Well, let's wrap it up so I can go do a road trip, and we'll hit one up for next week. All right? So, Blister... I won't see you on the golf course on Thursday. Still working on the stitches on the thumb. Yes, that was me on the barbecue listing.
Jesus.
I'll tell you that story later.
Yeah.
Four stitches, though. Tough to grip the club. I didn't mean it like that, but there's a little treat for you if you made it to the end of the live stream. I think that's Neapolitan ice cream. Isn't that the logo? I did enjoy that. Right? If you put that finger in the chocolate and that in the... Sorry. okay, we're getting delirious here. All right, Blister. So I guess, I don't know. I'll probably see your wife before I see you, because I'll see her on Friday over there at the
big house.
Bad host. And for the rest of you, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.
When it